Hello and welcome to NDTI's podcast series, Talking Inclusion. My name's Drew Edwards and I'm joined today by Paul Gutherson, and we're going to be talking about getting people's voices into policy. If I could start by asking you to introduce yourself, please, Paul.
Hi, I'm Paul Gutherson. I am the Ageing and Older People Development Lead at NDTI.
There seems to be quite a lot going on at the moment, Paul, with changes to policy.
Yeah, that's true. I guess there's a lot going on in relation to adult social care. There's, I think, a lot happening in terms of public bodies recognising that meaningful services is by involving people in the design of those services. But that also means that they need to get involved earlier in the policy development stage and the strategy development stage as well. So a lot of organisations, possibly as a response to what's happened throughout COVID and about that kind of response that communities have had and that individuals have had to some of the challenges that COVID threw up, that has meant that organisations have recognised the need to think through things with people and to build on the experience that people have, because they bring an awful lot to any kind of lived situation.
There's been consultations before, but it does feel like this is slightly different now, that people are really trying to listen to what's going on and what the experience of people, that pause we had over COVID meant that people really felt it's time to start listening if we want to have some proper change.
Yeah, I think there's a recognition that consultation isn't enough, that people have to have a real say in what's going on and what affects their lives. One of the people that we're working with at the minute is NHS England and NHS Improvement. And one of the people that we're working with there said that actually what they see as the work that we're doing with them as being almost like a listening exercise for the system. So bringing in that kind of sense of community organising, of actually we're listening so that we can then take action and make changes. And at a system level, it's listening for policymakers, and it's listening for decision makers, and it's listening for those people that are going to commission something in the first place. So actually, at the very beginning, they're thinking about who does this affect, who should have a say in this, and actually hopefully it's about broadening that out so that it's about people that represent a good cross-section of society. They're never going to be wholly representative, because that's massively difficult to do, but at least it gives everybody a voice in shaping something that's not just a statutory exercise. It goes beyond that. It's about positive opportunities to shape policy and to shape things beyond fixed questions.
And I know that, I mean, ensuring people's voices are heard in this way is one of our main priorities. So perhaps it's obvious to us why we're doing this. For people that maybe don't know how important that is to us, why do you think we're getting involved in that?
No, I mean, I think that's a really good point. And there's research evidence that says that giving people voice, then it means that services will result in better outcomes for those people. There's research evidence that kind of suggests that actually by doing that and getting people involved, it actually can reduce demand, because those services are properly shaped, so they actually meet a specific need. So ultimately, it saves money. So from a commissioner side of it, there are benefits around that. For me personally, it's about empowering people to take charge of their own lives. It's about an agenda of active citizenship. So it means that people, by bringing their voice to policy development and to service design, it brings real lived experience to something which otherwise is somebody in the room having a great idea that may or may not work. And actually, it's just about doing things the right way. And what's more right than actually involving the people who are affected by a policy decision in the shaping of that original policy decision?
So what are we doing to help improve things? You've got some really interesting projects going on.
Thank you. Yeah, they're super interesting, I think. So we've got two quite significant pieces of work at the minute. We've got a piece of work that we're doing for the Equality and Human Rights Commission, which is about trying to look at the proposed social care reforms in England, Wales and Scotland from a human rights perspective, look at those reforms and help the Equality and Human Rights Commission shape their policy and their response and what their strategic response to those proposed reforms are. That's really quite exciting because it's about shaping the strategy of a major body. There are opportunities there to bring people in who are typically excluded from that level of thinking. So that's people who may have dementia, that's autistic people, carers as well. So actually it's not just those people who are drawing on social care, but also those their families as well.
And we're working with British Institute of Human Rights on that too.
We are, which is absolutely brilliant. So it's great to be working with British Institute of Human Rights on that. And it's just a really exciting piece of work. It's quite short term, but it will hopefully have quite a significant impact on ensuring that the social care reforms are rights-based. We're also working on something called a sounding board for NHS England and NHS Improvement. And this is really quite interesting. They've done this before, and it's about having a group of 25 people over the age of 50, because they have other sounding boards. So they have a youth sounding board, a youth forum, and they have other means for people to get involved in shaping NHS policy. Basically, what happens is we will be recruiting for people to be members of this board. Different parts of the NHS will bring ideas to the board and say, look, this is what we're thinking about doing. Does it make sense to you? If we did this, how would it affect your lives? So it's really fascinating and a really interesting piece of work. And we'll be in the next couple of months sort of calling out for people who want to become members of the sounding board. What we also want to do, though, is we recognise that's only 25 people. And hopefully there will be more people who are interested in being involved. So we're exploring at the moment with NHS England and NHS Improvement the idea of how we encourage more people to get involved in what they call themed conversations. So there might not be very specific policy questions, but it'll be a themed conversation, possibly around things like the impact of COVID on people's lives, or possibly the idea of greater use of digital technology in healthcare. So it's a broader conversation. So how can we bring people in and bring a range of voices to that? And obviously what we hope to do is build on the networks that we've already got, but also to bring in people, again, that don't normally get a voice and don't normally get a say in how these issues are talked about and shaped within a public body.
How do we go about reaching people that don't normally have a voice? As an organisation, we think we're inclusive. We think we're inclusive of lots of people, but there's lots of people we don't talk to that we'd really want to. So are there particular partners or membership organisations that we're reaching out to in order to do that?
Well, it's an ever-growing kind of list, I suppose, in that, yes, we'll use the networks that we have organizationally and also reach out via social media
and partner networks perhaps.
Yeah absolutely, yeah. So those partner networks that we have, but what we really want to do is reach people, not the organizations that represent people. This is about direct work with individuals who will be affected by these policies.
And will that be something people can interact with in different ways? With diverse groups of people, are we also looking at diverse ways of including people?
With the work for Equality and Human Rights Commission, that's quite swift, and it will primarily be through a short online survey, but also some structured interviews for people that want to talk to us. That's a bit more rigid than we probably like. With the sounding board, we're trying to experiment a bit. We're trying to be a bit more varied about how people can get involved. Yes, there is a very structured set of meetings that are the board that will meet to discuss very specific policy issues that are brought to the board in a very formal agenda set, minutes taken kind of approach. But the themed conversations that we're talking about are very different, and potentially people can get involved in many varied ways. We're looking at how that might work. So it might be that we will put a very general call out for people to respond in whatever way suits. That might be through a survey, or it might be through a visual response. It might be through a recorded response. The challenge then becomes about how you bring those voices together. so that we amplify the voices appropriately and we don't distort those what people are saying. But it's a fascinating challenge, and it's partly because what we're trying to do is do something that doesn't rely on physically bringing lots of people together.
And our role, how does that work? Walking alongside other people's voices and being able to make sure they're heard and it's not us speaking instead of, is quite a challenging thing for some formal organisations to understand. How do we make sure that that works?
That's a good point. I think to help organisations understand that we cannot speak for anybody else, but what we are is a conduit or a route for those organisations to connect directly to people who have something to say around a specific issue. There are two strands to it. One of it is about supporting the organisation to recognise the benefits of speaking directly. The other side of it as well is about supporting individuals to recognize how they influence directly. So it's about empowering those individuals to share their voice and to seek change through sharing their own voice. So there's two sides to it. And hopefully what we're able to do with this piece of work is to show even more clearly how that's done, develop our own learning around this so that we can keep doing this and keep improving how we do it.
And I know that this is something we already do within the Equal Lives team, within the advocacy sector program and the care and treatment review training program and various other pieces of work. And it's going to be really exciting to hear some new voices and some new experiences from people. So how do people get involved?
People will be able to get involved quite quickly. And in the next month or so, if they keep an eye out on the NDTI website and also on our social media channels, we will be asking for people to get involved. And it should all happen in the next month or so.
Fantastic. And if anybody had any questions about it, are you the person they come to talk to?
Yeah, absolutely. More than happy to talk to anybody that's interested in this kind of work.
I think the question most people want to know is what will happen with their feedback once they've been involved with the project.
For the EHRC piece of work, it's very much about how EHRC implement their existing strategy, specifically in relation to the social care reform proposals. They will see very practical examples of how an organisation uses voice to shape the way that they then work. For the work with the NHS, what we hope we will see in the next year is actually a number of publications after every themed conversation. So there'll be a very clear document that says this is what people said, and will include people's voices than the directness of those people's voices. The boards themselves are minuted and all those kinds of things. So actually there's records of those things, but the real thing that people will see is hopefully policies and services and new approaches to delivery of services within the NHS that truly meet the needs of those groups of people that have been involved in shaping them. It's certainly our intention that there's a bit of a feedback loop, that it isn't just an extractive process of, oh, we'll go and talk to some people, they tell us some stuff, we'll go away. It's that actually they will come back, say, this is what we've heard from what you've said, this is how we think it affects the policy or the service, have we got it right? So at least there's at least that one return loop of, have we got it right?
Thank you for talking today. And if you want to find out more about either of the projects Paul has talked about today, visit www.ndti.org.uk and look at the Equal Lives projects under our Change and Development work. Or you can follow us on Twitter at NDTI Central. And Paul's contact details are also on the project pages on our website. Our next episode will be in 2 weeks' time, and we hope you can join us then. Thank you.